Bibles to Acts. We'll read chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things which they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Good morning, brethren and friends. I hope that you all had a great week last week, and that we're all staying warm, and that we continue to have great weeks in the Lord. Remember to be thankful for the many things that we're blessed with in this country, not only in this country, but in this life, the families that we have. And as we remember, even this past Thanksgiving, as many people were being thankful for only the country, or maybe only for the things, material possessions, remember that we have the utmost thing to be thankful for. And that's that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and that's that God loves us, and all the blessings that they have given to us, the Godhead. So be thankful for those things, and be thankful for our lives as Christians that's made possible by Christ. Very pertaining to our lesson today, and pertaining to the series that we've been going over, as this will be the last Sunday that we have this series. We'll be going over this part as part 11, and then part 12 this afternoon. So this is going to be the last of the series. Then we're going to move on to other things, but remember that we are going to meet again this afternoon, so please do try to make it for that. The next event that we obviously come to after getting through all the gospel accounts, and remember that we briefly went over many of those things of the other accounts. We were having a primary focus on the gospel account of Matthew, but the other accounts, it would take way too much time for us to go all those verse by verse as we were doing with Matthew, really. And so we went through those a little bit quicker and read through those. And also John 21, I encouraged you to read on your own time. But there was other accounts as far as the appearances of Christ, even in the epistles. Or there was one other in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. If you turn there with me, we'll do a quick read on that. It says there, For I delivered, or 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8, For I delivered to you, first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that He was seen by James, then all the apostles. Then last of all He was seen by me also, for as one born out of due time. We talked about all those other appearances, and then we came to Jesus' appearance to Paul. So if you reference to Acts 9, 1 through 6, Remember, this is after Jesus has ascended, as far as chronologically. He's ascended by this point. He did so even in the book of Acts chapter 1. You can see that as far as in chronological order. Acts 9, 1 through 6 says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue to Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" Feel free to continue the text from there. Also in chapter 18, 9 through 10, these are recounts of the event. 22, 1 through 8 of Acts, and 23, 11, and also 26, 12 through 18. Those are the references you can write down in 1 Corinthians 15, 8 as well, as we just read. Then John's confession to being a witness of Christ will be one of the also most important things to conclude these events that happened with Christ before we get to His ascension. John 21, 24 through 25. If you turn there with me, John does confess pretty directly that he was a witness of Christ. And likewise, all the Scriptures would have this same testimony, and John writes it very clearly. John 21, 24 through 25 says, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. And so as we continue this in Jesus' ascension, remember everything that we've gone through. Remember the events that transpired leading up to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. His sacrifice directly on the cross and Him carrying His own cross. We talked about all those things going through the book of Matthew and other accounts. Remember all those horrible things that happened to Him. The trials that He went through. The trials with Herod. The trials with Pilate. The trials before the Sanhedrin. At times when nobody would have been even awake in the night, in the early morning. And all these things were done when really none of His followers were even there present and protecting Him. He was entirely, mostly alone, other than a few that were following Him close. And so Jesus going through all these terrible things just to sacrifice Himself for us and serve as that perfect sacrifice that we might live eternally in heaven with God. A beautiful sacrifice and the most beautiful that's ever been made in history and ever will be made until the judgment. John 20 and verse 17 is another prophecy that's told concerning Jesus, concerning His ascension to be alongside God the Father in heaven. So as we talked about before, Jesus prophesied about many different things, even about His own death. And then, likewise, He prophesies about His ascension, which we also will notice that actually does happen. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." The Gospel accounts of Mark and Luke and the book of Acts of the Apostles cover the contextual ascension of Jesus and really the entire written account there, what happens when Jesus ascends. The other accounts give details as far as what happens directly before that. We'll go over to Luke 24, 44 through 49. Luke 24, 44 through 49. To get details as far as Jesus, when He led the disciples as far out as Bethany, before He did this, before He ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, He said one more thing. Now, this is very important for us Christians. Take in mind everything that Jesus said, even at the end of His life, before He ascended and after He ascended. Luke 24, 44 through 49. "Then He said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.' And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then He said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Not only is Jesus confessing to all these things being prophesied beforehand and as fulfilled prophecies, but even talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit being given to the apostles to be able to show that Jesus is truly the Christ. If you continue over to Acts 1, 4 through 8, you'll also see a similar message. It really is accounted as the same event here. But Acts 1, 4 through 8. Acts 1, 4 through 8 says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" See, they still had that wrong idea. "And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So even the Holy Spirit eventually, very soon, will come and will help them even in the things they will say, everything they will teach. The Holy Spirit really will be the one that is teaching those things. So beautiful that those words are coming directly from God, just as they came from the mouths of the prophets, even in the Old Testament law. And even the mouths of the patriarchs, like if we look back in the book of Genesis. Then the account of Jesus' ascension. If you turn over to Mark 16, 19 through 20, we get to the next event, which is the last event in the physical life of Christ. Remember, he is still flesh and blood. Jesus certainly did fulfill resurrecting from the dead, even as a man. On the third day, remember. And what day was that? The first day of the week? We went over that many times. It was Sunday, no doubt. It was after the Sabbath. Very clearly, the Scriptures indicate that. Mark 16, 19 through 20 says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. If you go over to Luke 24, you'll read the next account that has such ascension. Luke 24, 50. 24, 50. Starting there, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Amen. If you go over to Acts 1, 9 through 11, you'll read the next one that Floyd read a moment ago. And remember, these gospel accounts, as we're flipping back and forth, the reason is because there are things said before and after some things that happen. The different gospel accounts don't cover the same details in every single one of them. They pertain to different details, really, each of them. And some cover the same things, some don't. But all of it is, nonetheless, giving the essential information. Acts 1, 9 through 11. Remember, the Scriptures work together. They don't work apart. That's what some people confuse. There's no contradiction. They're just focusing on different details, and they're working together to show you the true, entire events that happened with Christ's sacrifice. Acts 1, 9 through 11, starting there. "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Now, continuing here, the book of Acts, if we talk about it a little bit, what's it a continuation from? It's a continuation from the gospel accounts. So keep in mind that these things are going to happen, as far as the context goes, immediately after. It's presumed that Luke is the writer of the book of Acts, and that perhaps it was even written in the later ADs. But the Holy Spirit ultimately helps Luke to write such an account. And the book of Acts was of the Acts of the 12 apostles. And of course, there are disciples even written within it that were not of the 12, just of the different actions and the different things that happened after the account of Jesus' crucifixion, of his resurrection, and his ascension. All those things, the book of Acts will cover the aftermath of that. Chronologically, you start there. You start in chapters 1 and 2 for context purposes, and then you go from there. Acts 1:12 through 26 is the next events that really happen here. And for the purpose of our series, we'll read through that. Acts 1:12 through 26. Acts 1:12 through 26 starts there. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. When they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Verse 14, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names is about 120, and said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they cast their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So Matthias, obviously here, from verse 15 to 26, would be the next apostle that would be chosen to be among the, really, the original 12. This would be something that would be ordained by God as they cast lots, and it was really it's not really presumed, but it's certainly that God was acting in this time as well, that Matthias would be chosen. It does, of course, list the names of the apostles in verse 13, and it tells you what they're doing at this time after Jesus ascends until the next chapter, whenever the day of Pentecost comes, and they're all in one place. And, of course, Peter has his sermon. And the Lord adds daily to the church those who are repenting, those who are following the will of the Lord as being preached, those who are being saved. You go over to Acts 2, 1 through 47. We'll read through these things and we'll talk about them as these will finish out the events concerning this series. And then the next lesson that we'll have is concerning what does Jesus the Christ sacrifice mean to us today. And we'll also talk a little bit about the book of Acts and how it is about new beginnings and even how it's about a missionary book. Acts 2, 1 through 47. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Remember, Jesus prophesied this would happen in the previous chapter. And even in the gospel accounts, what happened? Exactly as Jesus said. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Very clearly a miracle is happening here, brethren, for people to try to... Now, this is another passage that, of course, atheists will try to attack and say, well, it could have happened in this way or it could have happened naturally in this way. You know, maybe they had multiple people speaking these things. And And, you know, they actually knew the language from before. No, these were a bunch of foreign people, a bunch of foreign nation people who had different languages, many different languages, and yet they all heard in their own languages what was being said. Continue there, verse 14. Here's Peter's sermon, as your header also says. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all those who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Remember, we went through this in our class on Joel. Remember, we went over this. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall see dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy, I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. Remember, this all happened, brethren. This is really cool. And the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you, by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Then David's words here. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Remember, brethren, we just read these things, that the apostles would remember these words even by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, and that all these things were fulfilled. You know, all the prophecies prior in Scripture in the Old Testament, Jesus confirmed, were about Him. They would be fulfilled, and they certainly were as we went through the events of Christ's crucifixion, His burial and His resurrection and His ascension. All these things were prophesied. Still, Jesus is correct. Still, I want you to go back to any of these other guys. Any of these other guys who start religions. Go to Buddha. Go to whoever you want. Go to Muhammad. Go to all these guys. Go to John Smith. Whoever it is, start denominations, start other world religions. Every one of them. You go back and count the amount of prophecies that those guys had compared to Jesus, how many writers of their book that they had compared to Jesus, how many people were talking about them compared to Jesus, and you will find that those men and those women were talking about themselves more so. They didn't have nearly any other writers except themselves. And Jesus had everybody else writing witness testimony about Him. Confirmed with many, many miracles, with many witness accounts concerning such. What's the difference? Jesus is real. The Messiah, Jesus, He's actually the Messiah. That's what we need to learn from this series, brethren. That's what I've tried to get to you. That's what the Scriptures have tried to get to us. That's the purpose of this series. It's to help us all understand as Christians to be strong in our faith that Jesus truly is the Christ. And that our faith is not misled. People try to mislead our faith into denominations and open doors that are away from Scripture. Don't believe in the false prophets. Believe in the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures are the truth. The Scriptures concerning the Jesus, the Christ, those are the truth. He's the Messiah. There's no other Messiahs that are going to come. The Jews are wrong of today. There's no other Messiahs that will come. There's no physical nation. There's no physical kingdom for a 1,000-year reign concerning Jesus. Jesus didn't fail when He died on the cross. That's what was supposed to happen. Because of us, because of our sins, He had to die. Do we understand that? It's our fault. Which one of us has sinned in this room? Which one of us? You going to raise your hands? Every one of us has sinned in this room. Romans 3:23, and fallen short of the glory of God. Every last one of us. Jesus came to die because of that. He lost His life. His perfect life. He's God. and he left a domain in heaven that he had, his perfect domain, to come and live with us, his creation. Why would he do it? Because his unfathomable love for us, his unconditional love for us, and God the Father's, God the Holy Spirit, God ultimately, because of his love for us. Continue there with me, verse 29, and we'll finish up the text here. Verse 29, Acts 2. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Peter here is standing. Remember, he's speaking in all of their languages. They can hear the tongue. They can hear what's being said. In all of their own languages, by the same mouth. That's a miracle. That's what's going on here. It's the same context. And Peter is affirming every word from the prophets that were concerning Jesus, the Messiah. Peter doesn't just know nothing. He doesn't just know nothing. He knows the Scriptures. He knows which ones are talking about Jesus, which ones are the most important to say here. And he cuts to their hearts. Not him, the Word cuts to their hearts with that message. And they realize, we just crucified Jesus the Christ. Brethren, you remember how it just said, verse 32, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. If you are reading this Bible, you are a witness through the eye of faith. You're a witness through the eye of reading to Jesus' crucifixion, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We are all witnesses. The tragedy that he went through for us can never be forgotten. And we remember it each time we take of this Lord's Supper. Let us not forget that. When we sing about Jesus' death on the cross, when we pray about it and thank God for it, remember what he went through, what we have talked about in these Scriptures. He did not go through a little bit. He went through it all. Jesus gave it all. Remember that. And we are witnesses to that through the words that are written through many accounts of men and women who saw it, who saw those things happen. Many people. I even gave you evidence of people who talked about even the darkness in the skies when Jesus died on the cross. We even talked about one Roman astronomer who saw the sky and the eclipse that happened when Jesus was crucified. We talked about that as well. And that wasn't even in the Scriptures. That was some random Roman astronomer of the day and time. It was real. We have got to respect it. We've got to respect Jesus' crucifixion, his sacrifice for us. And the world, don't we wish that they would? Don't we wish that it was not in vain for them? In the sense that they'd make it pointless because they won't accept it. They won't follow the Lord's will. They won't become Christians. They won't repent. They won't be baptized. They won't confess. They won't do any of it. They won't believe Jesus is the Christ. They choose to believe God doesn't exist entirely. What about when they pass from this life after the 80 years we have, or the 60 years we have, or the 40 years, or the 20 years, or the 10 years, or the 5 years? We're not promised tomorrow. That's why Jesus came, and that's why God is patient, because He loves us. We're not promised tomorrow. Let's make good decisions today, and let's be Christians today rather than tomorrow. Be Christians 24/7. And if you're not a Christian, why are you not? Because today is the day of salvation for you. You can become one if you believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that plan of salvation is clear. Believing Jesus is the Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing He is the Christ before men, being baptized, as was said also in Acts 2:38, that is full immersion, and remaining faithful unto death, and you receive heaven waiting for you. Take it. It's waiting. It's yours. Why would you pass up heaven? Why would anybody pass up heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven. You see all these celebrities talking about, I want to go to heaven. And everybody under them says, I want to go to heaven. We're all going to heaven. We're all going to heaven. But then they go out and drink. They go out and they have all the filthy language in the world. They go out and commit all the sexual immorality in the world. That's not how you get heaven. Matthew 7:21-23. The true worshipers, those who do the will of my Father in heaven, those will be the ones that enter into the kingdom. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, these things, very simple to understand, but most of the world will nonetheless reject what the will of God is, and what the will of Christ is. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, this was a fulfillment of prophecy of the events of this day. Isaiah 2, 2 through 3. It is essential we go and read this passage, brethren, so I encourage you to turn there. Isaiah chapter 2, 2 through 3. Start there in verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Go over to Luke, and let's go back to Acts chapter 2 real quick, and then we'll go over to Luke. Acts 2, 1 through 47, we're almost finished. 2, 1 through 47, but we're going to start there in the part where we left off. Right there in verse 40, if you would, Acts 2. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. A new hope, a new promise, a new chance for life. Christianity starts when? Not by John Smith, not by John Calvin. When did it start? Started right now, this day that you just read, day of Pentecost, the church started, the church began. This is when it started. It didn't start when denominational guy number one said it, when he made up his new doctrine about some golden plates and an angel named Moroni. It started out right here, what you just read, on the day of Pentecost, as it was prophesied to. And the New Testament, brethren, it's active. It's active. The Old Testament, it's inactive. It's done away with. It was the former things instituted to bring us to Christ. This is the New Testament days, and we shall live by the New Testament as it preaches. Luke 24, 46 through 47. We'll read that. We'll talk briefly about Acts, and we'll finish. Luke 24, 46 through 47. Then he said to them, Thus it is written, Thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, the events of this day, what are they? The fulfillment of prophecy as well. After Jesus has ascended, still prophecy is being fulfilled. And I thought a good scripture to conclude this, as we think about these things, is Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, starting there in verse 1. Very good scripture to conclude on. Many others that would be just as good. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. This is Colossians 3, and now in verse 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Beautiful series that we've just had, brethren, as it's concerning that which gives us life, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah that was promised, that the Jews prayed for. For years on end they would pray about Him, and yet they crucified Him. Men and brethren, what shall we do now? We crucified Him. What are we going to do? Just as we are guilty of sin, they were guilty of sin. Whether we literally did it and put Him on that cross or not, if we sin, we forced Him to have to go to that cross. But it was still His choice. He didn't have to. But because of our sin, He had to do it in order for us to have life. The book of Acts is a new beginning. A preaching of the gospel and about forgiveness. It's a book about evangelism and conversions and how such is done properly in the eyes of God. It's about the coming of the Holy Spirit and power on the apostles on Pentecost. This gift of the Holy Spirit power, this inspiration, it would cease. It would cease. It's not here anymore. People who proclaim that God gives them messages today, or in the 1800s, or whoever you want to say, it's no longer happening. It ceased, as the Scriptures even tell and foretold. If one wishes to know what to do to be saved in Christ and by Christ, the book of Acts and the New Testament is what you go to. The New Testament works together. It doesn't work separately, and there is no private interpretation that is to be involved in it. It is the first history about the beginning and the early years of the church. It presents a new worship that the Church of Christ is to always follow then, and even in these days we presently live in. It's about a new organizational structure for the church. Brethren, I encourage you, if you can, to go read the book of Acts. Go read the book of Acts, as it will continue this series for you. It will continue it. It will give light as far as what the apostles would do in evangelism and what you can also do in your life today, and about the plan of salvation being enacted on so many people and so many people believing in the Christ. If you believe Jesus is the Christ today, if you're willing to repent of your sins and you're willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ before men, if you're willing and ready to do those things, then why are you waiting? Be baptized now today, immersed into the water for remission of your sins, and to be added to God's kingdom. Jesus' kingdom. Those things are interchangeable. The Church of Christ is the kingdom of God. Romans 16:16. Church of Christ. We are the kingdom of God, brethren. Christians are. True Christians are. The choice whether we get to heaven is ours, as we must remain faithful unto death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is our choice? Is it death or is it life? Every one of us has our choice of our individual destinies. What is yours? What is mine? It is ours to decide. Nobody else's. If you choose Jesus, if you choose to follow Him, follow that plan of salvation and remain faithful unto death according to the New Testament Scriptures, and you will survive the judgment of Hebrews 9:27. Are you ready for the judgment day? If you're a Christian and you have sin in your life, are you ready for the judgment day as well? No, you're not. If you have sin in your life, it's time to get that right. If you have any other needs for prayer, we encourage you and we ask you that you would come and let us pray with you. Let us sing to God together. Please stand.
Yeah.